It's Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. I'm Mike McCurdy. The Bloomington Normal music scene has seen rejuvenation in the last 7 years. That's according to many musicians and fans, including a promoter in Champaign-Urbana. GLT's John Norton digs into how and why.
Michael Klug and Joe Borberly of Bloomington's Jacked Up and the Empty Bottles say they've seen both the drought and the resurgence of the Central Illinois music scene. Klug says it's about time.
The music scene was non-existent forever, it seemed like. Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course, there was always, you know, a couple of bands playing here, a couple of bands playing there, but there was never anybody at any shows ever.
Any idea what the catalyst might have been?
In my view, it's the Castle.
I totally agree.
Many in town share that view of the decade-shuttered movie theater reconditioned to a live music venue, even those who view the scene through a wider age lens.
My name is Edwin Pierce. I've been a resident of Bloomington and Normal since 1977 when I came here for college from California.
40 years later, Pierce is an elder statesman on the Twin City music scene. Musically, he's probably best known as one of the two guitarists in the 80s, 90s Twin Cities rock band, the Something Brothers. That band toured the Midwest incessantly. This is one of their more popular songs from those days.
With five holes round, I'm in my truck, don't even stop at home. I'm gonna meet the Something Brothers at the Metropole. And it's 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
Pierce also owns the popular Monster Pond stores in Normal and Bloomington, and he's still active in the music scene as the guitarist of the 80s cover band, Retrofit.
The Castle Theater has been instrumental at bringing live music to the area. Good live music.
But he had a slightly different take on whether that translates to resurgence.
And that seems to bring people out, and therefore that makes you feel like the music scene is better.
It's not necessarily been revived, it's always been here. It's more visible now.
That's Chris Goldwitzer. He's a local musician and promoter of small shows. This is Planes Mistaken for Stars, a show he promoted at Firehouse Pizza in Normal in 2014.
It used to be if a small, popular band came, they would play maybe in a rec room at ISU. No place bigger than something the size of Six Strings. But now there's a big room available, so the size of band that can come is much bigger.
So among those paying attention to live music in town, one thing is unanimous. The Castle Theater has been a boon to seeing good national touring acts on a regular basis. But is the scene rejuvenated? The consensus seems to be yes, but there is nuance, as Pierce and Goldwitzer hint. That nuance tends to break down along age lines and the era resurgence is being compared with.
I'm trying to remember back in the 80s and the 90s, the scene was huge.
That's Jan Lancaster. She's owned the Bistro in downtown Bloomington for nearly 25 years.
We would always be out every night, and there would be live music even early in the week. Like now you can't find, you know, any bands, you know, usually Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that really starts concentrating on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But at that point, you could go and hear live music almost every night of the week.
Oh, definitely agree with Jan.
Terry Lance is a Bloomington native. In the 80s, if there was live music in town, she was there and saw tons of bands, including Pork and the Havana Ducks.
Oh, I do this song. I love this song.
She remembers a happening live music scene.
There were definitely more places for live music in the 80s.
Than today?
Than today.
I mean, the volume of clubs and venues playing music was larger in the 80s.
I would definitely say the venues playing music was larger in the 80s. They may not have something every night, but you could find something every night.
Scotty's was one of those popular 80s haunts, as was Mosey's, the Pub, C2 East, McLean County Bar, Stan's, the Lazy J, the Metropole, among others. Jan Lancaster remembers when Robert Buford took over a side of his mother's restaurant called Susie's.
And that became kind of really known for the blues and jazz scene. Across the street, Daddy-O's wasn't there yet, but eventually we had Country Nights there, Killarney's at that time. Almost everyone along the street had some sort of live music going.
And the bands playing regularly at that time included the aforementioned Something Brothers and Pork and the Havana Ducks. There was also Mojo Stew, The Mechanics, Timothy P, and the Rural Route 3. There was Aztec Neighbors, Hanover Fist, Captain Rat and the Blind Rivets, and this band, Cool Ray and the Polaroids. To those who lived for live music in the Twin Cities in the 1980s, all agree Bloomington Normal was a vibrant music town.
My name is Morgan Schulte. I live in Bloomington. I'm a special ed teacher by day.
Nights and weekends, she promotes music through Gabriel Events.
I love music.
You're listening to the music of the Spelunkers, the Bloomington-based band that toured the Midwest beginning in the mid-1990s. That's about the same time Schulte immersed herself into the Twin Cities music scene.
We had Lizard's Lounge. Everybody went there. They'd pay a cover, $5 cover to get in. Then they'd hop over to Juju's and listen to live music there for $5. Then they'd go head over to Daddy-O's and pop $5 in the door and head in there. That's what everybody did, and every place was packed.
Besides Spelunkers, you could see Public Display of Funk, Hip Pocket, Full Size Jimmy, and the Seed Band, among many others. This is Bottle of Justice, formed in the late 90s on the ISU campus.
Yeah, I'll take my chances with all the rest.
Edward David Anderson landed at ISU in the mid-90s and jumped right into the music scene. Many consider he and Cody Decoff, a.k.a. Chicago Farmer, to be the heartbeat of the Bloomington Normal live music scene today. Anderson remembers these bands well, and the scene in Normal at the time was vibrant.
There was tons of house parties and basements and the gallery and the stadium and Shanigans and Rockies, Spankies. They all had live music. All those places did.
This is my life now.
Some of my fondest memories of live music. In the early days, there were the charter members who came up with the pub crawl.
That is Doug Lance. He and his wife, Terry Lance, owned and operated Rosie's Pub in downtown Bloomington from 1996 through 2001.
I can remember Gary from the Grand Cafe, Jan Lancaster.
My friend Gary Lundberg and I came up with this idea to start a pub crawl, which started then in, I believe, 1993.
One weekend, we had estimated 8,000 people came to downtown Bloomington to do what was then called the Jazz and Blues Pub Crawl.
We brought in jazz, blues people from all over the country.
I think that's when the pub crawl was at its absolute heydays. So the 90s, I remember fondly, Scotty's was going on.
Again, Morgan Schulte.
We had the house shows at the La Crosse House on ISU campus.
It was a vibrant music scene.
Live music was booming.
And then all of a sudden.
And then I don't know what happened.
About 2001 is when the music scene locally just fell off the map.
I guess I started seeing the change 96, 97, 98, where things were going more to the DJs, and it was all about the DJs.
Jan Lancaster has owned the Bistro in downtown Bloomington since 1993.
After Daddy-O's opened, I mean, he continued to do a live music scene, but as far as the other bars and the little bars, it got where they all just put in a DJ.
Musician and new club owner Chris Goldwitzer argues that despite that, live music at the time actually didn't fall off the map.
Okay, there's a couple ways you could look at it. It just went underground or got smaller, quite literally meaning it's in houses and garages and basements.
Mandatory hardcore song topics. Crestium.
This is Sutek Conspiracy at the Prairie House in Bloomington in 2001. The Prairie House and others, including what was called Pool Party House, The Kitchen, Das Fun House, and dozens of others, catered to a younger audience. They featured punk, garage, and alt-rock bands that couldn't land a gig in the clubs.
The gallery closed. That was one of the last bastions for bands that didn't do covers. Lizard's Lounge was down here, but then it became Pauly's that catered to underground music. There were a few other bars that did, but for the most part, you lost access to stages, per se.
There was another scourge working against live music at that time, one that didn't sit well at all with Doug and Terry Lance when they owned Rosie's Pub through the early 2000s. He said at that time, he had one unbreakable rule.
I will never, ever have karaoke. And I didn't. People would go on that karaoke trail. That's what we'd call it. It was not good for the music scene, and it, quite frankly, wasn't that good for the bars.
You're listening to a YouTube clip of a 2009 karaoke performance at Kegler's Pub in Bloomington. A young lady is covering Mr. Jones by the Counting Crows. It's a type of sound that's not a good memory for Terry Lance.
Not to be rude, but it was a bar's nightmare in a sense. You might get a lot of people in the door, but they're just drinking water and soda. They were only there for the karaoke performance.
By all accounts, the 20-aughts was a tough time for live music in Bloomington Normal. Edwin Pierce of the Something Brothers fame thinks the 2009 state smoking ban also had an impact.
But I really wasn't a karaoke guy, so I was missing the bands.
But you definitely saw that was happening, though.
Yeah, and I think that the downtown Bloomington kind of curtailed there a bit, because I don't want to bitch about the police. They're doing their job. But there was a lot of DUIs going on. I think people got scared of going downtown Bloomington.
So what brought the live music scene back from the death grip of DJs and karaoke? Here's Jen Lancaster.
I think that it was just time. And I think everybody got kind of sick of just that electronic DJ sound.
Hey, folks, this is Cody Dekoff, Chicago farmer, coming to you all the way from South Center Street in Bloomington, Illinois.
I arrived here kicking and screaming the day that I took the stage.
Yeah, I think the Castle has definitely reignited the fire here in the local music scene. It seemed like we had a little slow burn happening there, and the Castle kind of put the fuel on the fire and really blew it up.
Can you take how that has translated outside of the Castle Theater into getting people excited about the music scene as a whole in town?
You know, you have to have something to you to play the Castle. I think it demands quality. It inspires people to go home and write better songs and play better guitar and keep better rhythm. And it inspires people to, you know, make their music the best quality they can so they can go hit that same stage.
Rick Valentin and Rose Marshak have been privy to a number of scenes. They're half of the punk rock outfit Poster Children from Champaign-Urbana that recorded on major labels and toured the country extensively in the 90s. This is from their early 90s Daisy Chain Reaction album. Both are now arts technology professors at ISU. They say a vibrant music scene includes a mid-level club like the Castle,
but then also a smaller scene where it's like, oh yeah, they can play to 10 people or 50 people, the local band can open up.
And that may be missing right now.
Yeah, and so I think the Firehouse kind of had that for a while in this town. That's what I was really excited about. But when that went away, and now I think Chris Gallwitzer,
right,
is going to be opening up a club that's kind of on that scale.
The scheduled December debut of Gallwitzer's Night Shop Club in downtown Bloomington has bands and fans in the Twin Cities buzzing. On this day, he and business partner Matt Spears are working feverishly to finish a total remodel of the former Main Street Grill location in downtown. When completed, Gallwitzer says the venue will have a state-of-the-art sound system and the ability to accommodate 200 music fans.
The success of the Castle absolutely opens the door for us to open up this kind of place and try to bring in great talent that fits this room.
For example, it's not always economic for the Castle to book a show they know won't fill the room, like one of his favorite bands.
And they played at the Castle a few years ago, and it was incredible. Well, now I know Built to Spill will play here, so I'm going to try to get Built to Spill here. But another thing that enables us to open this up, all the places that I like in Champaign are closing. There's an ebb and flow, and right now it's absolutely Bloomington's time.
Rose Marshak says the scene has caught the attention of those outside the Twin Cities to the benefit of other businesses.
My friends in Champaign are starting to text me and say, hey, we're going to Bloomington to see a show. Where should we eat? I'll be like, oh, okay, what are these amazing restaurants in downtown Bloomington? Where should we tell them to eat? Also, you need to stop by the 8-Bit Game Arcade, too, and, you know, more places for them to go. Oh, I'm going to go see that show because there's this amazing restaurant and because there's this arcade that I need to stop at.
Chris Gallwitzer is hearing similar sentiments from the restaurants themselves. They're telling him they're anticipating his new club will bring more people downtown, and that will spill over onto their business. There's wide agreement that electricity has been crackling through the scene since the 2011 opening of the Castle Theater. But Michael Klug and Joe Borberly of Jacked Up and the Empty Bottles say part of that electricity has been generated by Cody Dekoff and Edward David Anderson.
I feel like Ed and Cody took this town kicking and screaming against their will and made a scene out of nothing.
Huh.
I feel like their personalities, like that they're such genuinely good people, made the scene.
There's a great group of people in this town that go to a lot of shows.
It's true. And it's because of those guys and their bands.
I knew I liked those guys. No, that's really humbling.
Cody Dekoff, what are they getting at?
I think maybe we just didn't give up on this scene because we really both do like Bloomington Normal. There's been some really talented people here that have left. You can't blame them for seeing what else is out there, but for reasons of life, you know, life happens. We're both still here. We really like this town.
Names in the lights, get out the van. Another night playing music with Edward David Anderson.
This is Dekoff, a Chicago farmer at a recent Castle Theater show where he shared the bill with Anderson, who says he now feels like a mentor.
Because I really remember vividly being the younger guy looking for guidance. And it's kind of fun to, you know, I've picked up a few things over the years to pass that along. Yeah, it feels good.
A collaborative spirit among musicians is something Rose Marshak and Rick Valentin have noticed since moving to Bloomington 7 years ago. But Marshak says it permeates the entire scene.
I was in Champaign yesterday talking about the incredible record stores we have here in Bloomington just to try to make everybody jealous. So there's Reverberation Vinyl, and then there's North Street Records, too. When I have Jared from Waiting Room come and talk in my classes, and I say, hey, Jared, isn't there another record store right next to Waiting Room? Isn't North Street there? And do you guys, like, fist fight or something? What happens? And he says,
I think all the shops in town, all of us have our own tastes, and I think we try to cater to as many people as we possibly can with our own tastes and the things that they might like. So I think none of us try to step on each other's toes, so I think it just makes us stronger.
Seth Fine has been keeping his eye on the Bloomington Normal Scene from his longtime home in Champaign-Urbana.
I'm cheering for the Bloomington Normal Scene.
Fine is the founder and producer of the Pygmalion Festival. He says the Twin Cities music scene has now surpassed his town, at least for right now. Fine believes the next step to truly becoming a vibrant music town is to produce nationally touring artists with household names outside central Illinois.
That's what defines a scene more than anything. The venues set the stage. The record shops and the, you know, late night parties, that's all like ancillary to the idea that there is a core of musicians singularly focused and they might work as baristas or whatever. But that is secondary to their primary role as musicians in a singular band.
I'm just a plain old Midwestern boy.
Hokey Lafarge is arguably the only native son or daughter with that national name recognition right now, but even he more closely aligns with St. Louis than his hometown of Normal. Despite that, Chris Gulwitzer says Bloomington Normal has other positive attributes when considering its musical vibrancy, such as proximity to major cities, including Chicago and St. Louis.
For the logistical benefit of having shorter drive times and expenses getting to the next stop, but also if they're playing a bigger market, people will still come from that market to see them 2 days in a row.
He says proximity to nearby similar-sized towns can also be factored in.
If a show happens at the Castle Theater in Bloomington, a third of the crowd will be from Springfield, Peoria, or Champaign.
Though comparing live music eras is about as subjective as comparing sports eras, all agree the scene in Bloomington Normal has bounced back from the musical depression of the 2000s, and that the Castle Theater is the game-changer when comparing eras in the Twin Cities. Bloomington's Doug Land speaks for many when he says he is once again excited about the live music scene in the Twin Cities.
I could compare it to when it was at a very high level in the late 80s when I came to town, and in the 90s, I can go almost anywhere and hear live music now when I share that with my children.
For WGLT, I'm John Norton.
You're listening to 9 p.m. to 5 by Bloomington's Chicago Farmer from his Midwest Side Stories album. You can discover more local music and hear from artists playing in Central Illinois on the GLT Music Podcast. Find it on NPR One or your favorite podcast app. Castle Theater owner Rory O'Connor talks about his club and the Bloomington Normal music scene tomorrow on Sound Ideas and at WGLT.org.